Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
To 2 Corinthians again. Are you saying, do you ever read any other book, Pastor? If you've been here, if this is your only experience with us started in 2024, you're thinking that must be the only place he really can get sermons from. It has been a place I believe that God has led me to during this season of the life of our church. And one of the beautiful things about preaching through a particular book, you're able to deal with subjects as the scriptures come to light. I have preached many sermons through the years that we would call topical sermons. They're on a particular subject, but in going through these passages and expositional preaching and preaching from a particular book of the Bible and certain chapters, it's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit is using that to bring to light things that He knows is needed in the life of the church. That's exactly what was happening in the church of Corinth. And this was a letter to the church of Corinth. And according to the scriptures, this word is for us today through the witness of the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen? All right, you ready for the word today? Hadn't done this in a long time. Repeat after me. Say, this is the word of God. It teaches me that God is for me. Jesus is with me. The Holy Spirit is in me. And the angels are all around me. This is good news. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 6, 2 Corinthians. It'll be on the screen here. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Verse 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Verse 12. For the admonition of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. In the eighth and ninth chapters, we see him, the Apostle Paul, dealing through the Holy Spirit. He's dealing with the subject of giving. In a lot of these scriptures here. And that's what my subject is today, is giving. Jesus, he addressed giving. Now, it's been said that Jesus said more about giving than any other subject. Now, I'm not so sure about that. I've looked at that. I know that people have said that. Whether or not that's the case or not, what we know is he addressed it. And it's addressed in the scriptures. I'm reminded today, I think it's Matthew 6 and 21, which says to us that basically where our treasure is, notice it, that's where your heart will be also. For wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So that those are the words of Jesus, words of Jesus. Now, it won't be on your screen, but in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, he said, Jesus said that a man's life does not consist of his possessions. So we got to have this balance here. We got to understand that how important money is and financial resources are to our daily lives and to our existence. But we need to keep things in balance as we consider it. And again, so Jesus said, he said in Matthew 6 and 21, where your treasure is, where your money is, where your resources are, there your heart will be also. But Luke 12 and 15, our life does not consist of what we possess. And too often in this life, in this world we live in, we're consumed by and make judgments about possessions. And so that's not how we're to live our life. It doesn't speak to the value of an individual or based on possessions. And we should not be fooled about that concerning our own lives. In fact, a man's life and a woman's life really consists of our relationship to God. That's what Jesus prayed concerning the church in John 17 and 3 when he is in his high priestly prayer praying to the Father concerning his disciples and concerning you and I who are in this day as well, is that what really matters concerning a man or woman, a boy or girl, is their relationship with God in Christ Jesus through the Son. And so I want us just to see that today. But here in this passage, we see the Apostle Paul is addressing giving and generosity. And today, I want us just to see this particular subject in light of this passage. Now, there are no question some things that we are to support in giving. We're to support some things, and I want to bring a few scriptures to mind today. We are to, there's three areas that I'm going to focus upon today in our giving and in our, and how we should support. One is that we need to sustain the poor. We need to sustain the poor with our giving. I want us to grab hold of this. Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. In this Romans passage, he's dealing with the subject of giving. Notice, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Now, would you say that with me? To minister to who? For it pleased those from Macedonia, and now he's talking about the church over in Macedonia. It pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the who? The saints who are in Jerusalem. So I want you to, we need to grab hold of the scriptural teaching here. Now, there is a element in which we are to reach out to the poor and to help the poor. But I want you to understand the priority of the giving that the Apostle Paul is addressing into the Romans is the saints of God who are in poverty. They're Christians that are in poverty. And I want to tell you, I was reading about this, is that Macedonia was not a place that had a lot. They didn't have a lot of means and resources themselves, but they were mustering all they could to support some those that were in poverty in Jerusalem. So giving and generosity is not based upon how much you have or don't have, but it is being generous and giving of what you have and participating in that. A lot of times the enemy will confuse somebody and say, well, I don't have a lot, so I don't have a lot to give. Well, God don't expect you to give what you don't have. He expects us to utilize what we do have. And so that's good news for everybody in here. And so I want you to understand that. And so that's one of the ways, again, that's one of the ways. So I'm not saying that, don't hear me saying that I'm just talking about not helping the people out in the world that are in poverty. No, that is a part of it, but it's not the priority. Do you hear what the scripture said? The priority are the saints that are in need. The saints are in need. And so that's one of the ways we support in giving and is helping to sustain those that are poor among the saints. And then and not only in our own place, but in other places as well. That's important for us to see that. It's not just where we live, but it's all around the world. It's wherever that we can get the resources into the hands of the saints. And then we're to be supporting missionaries, and we're to be supporting church planters in particular around the world. Missionaries, primarily, there's missionaries that do certain projects and stuff, but what I want to tell you is the missionary work has always been a church planting effort around the world. That's something that's at the core and the center of it, and especially throughout the history of missionizing the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's that not only in another land somewhere, but that is the case here in our own country today, when there is a decline in churches today in terms of there's churches that are closing their doors. And that's one of the things that we are so passionate about here in this particular local church, that we want to be a part of church planting efforts. And the Heritage Co. in Lexington meeting currently and has been for over a year now at White Knoll High School, that is a church that planted out of this church. And we are parenting, and all of us are parenting that local congregation, and we're to look that way and pray for them and support them, which we do as a congregation. And there's individuals that are part of that, but we need to be supporting missions and church planting and the discipleship and the cause of Christ and the winning of the lost souls wherever they are, whether they're in this town or whether they're across our nation somewhere or whether it's across the seas. We're to be supporting and involved in missions. And I want you just to see this by first verse of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to see this passage, verse 7. Whoever goes to war at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? Verse 14 of this same chapter. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. So I want us to understand there, it's got this whole section, if you read it, is speaking of financial support for the church, that they are to be involved in supporting financially the missionaries and the ministers of the gospel. And that is the case, honestly, whether we're talking about Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, or whether we're talking about Graniteville and Aiken County in South Carolina, United States, and the world, we're talking about financial support that we are to be involved in. And then again, and we just tag on to that, it's the support of ministers of the Word of God and the ministries of the local church. So we basically, I'm outlining in a very general, large stroke of the paintbrush, that we are helping in our financial giving to sustain our brothers and sisters who are in poverty. We are supporting the ministries and missionaries and that are church planting churches and doing work all over the world. And we're also, it's the ministry of the Word of the Lord and the ministers of the Word of the Lord locally and ministry of the local church. All of those things are of major importance for us to consider today as we consider the Word of the Living God. And so I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Now the specific thing that he's dealing with, he's coming to Corinth, and he basically is saying, when I get there, we don't want to be distracted by the offering in that particular thing. But he's saying, this is things that you're to be doing all the while, not just focused on that day when I get there. And I want you to just see it again. There's a few things I want to point out. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. What I want you to see is that this that he's speaking to is not just for the church of Galatia. These instructions concerning the collection for the saints and for the ministry of the saints, this local congregation, this church is a ministry for the saints. Not only here, but in other places as well. But it's not just an order given to Galatia, but it was also for Corinth, and it's also for today. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Well, in the New Testament, the first day of the week is a day that was set aside. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we see them beginning to meet on Sundays at the church. The Christians began to meet on Sundays. And that's where we get that from. And it was the day they were celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we see that in Acts. In the 10th verse of Revelation chapter 1, it was called the Lord's Day. So sometimes you may get, there may be something that we post, there may be something that we say, whatever. We may say, we talk about the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is this day when we celebrate the first day of every week, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the total message of the New Testament is pointing to Jesus, pointing to his life, his death, his crucifixion upon the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Everything is solidly founded in Jesus. And so on the first day of the week here, lay something aside. Now, maybe it was that they, I don't know when in that particular time, but he wanted them, it seems to be a priority here that on the first day of the week, you give God your first. That is something that we see throughout the Old Testament as a principle of first. And on the first day of the week, you lay something aside. And it's a very general there because he is speaking it to everybody in this case. But he wants everybody participating in the giving, storing up as he may prosper. You notice that is, it's individual because it depends on the individual, that what it is that we are to be setting aside in our giving, that there may be no collections when I've come. So the context, he's talking about collections. He's talking about an offering. And I want us to see that, but I want you also to see this, and is that in order for us to be storing up, for us to lay it aside, that's not something we wait till we get to church to do. That's something we, while we're at home, we decide those things. You got a purpose in your heart. Those things begin in the home. Those giving begins in the home. It begins in a Christian family home, in an individual's life. It is purposing from our heart what we are to give unto the Lord. And I'm just trying my best just to echo what this passage is saying and not just add stuff to it, but I want to be faithful to the scriptures today in this subject of giving, because that's what the Holy Spirit felt like all that needed to be said on that. And so I want you to see that. So that was 1 Corinthians 16, the opening verses of that. You know, the reality is, it's a giving is a testimony of what we love. It's a testimony of what we love. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Or we could say your heart is where your treasure is. And so it does make, there's a significant aspect to our the living of our life is it matters what we do with the resources we have, not the resources we don't have, the ones we have. And to be givers. And so when we go back to these three priorities that I speak to in our collections, in our laying up and storing up and figuring out what it is that we're to do based on our home and our income and our own resources, it testifies to what we love, and there's some things that we need to love that I said a moment ago were some areas that we can give, but we're also to love it. And when I think about we are to love, if we're to sustain the poor, we are to love the poor. We are to love those that may not have resources. We are to love them, and it is not a looking down upon. When they were helping the Christian brothers and sisters in Jerusalem, they were not looking down upon them. They were recognizing a need and meeting the need. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's not about some kind of status thing that people get caught up in our day and in our society, but we are to love everybody, and we are to love those that might not can give anything back to what we're contributing. But again, I believe everybody has something they can contribute. Everybody has that. But we're to love. We're to love. We're to love the lost. So when we're talking about church planting, we're talking about missionaries. That is about loving the lost of this world. God so loved the world, the lost world, we could add to that, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that motivates my heart to be a part of that. And so part of that is in our giving in that area, and our heart is to be in that. And then the other aspect of that is the ministry of the word of God. I believe it's 1 Timothy 5 and 18. It says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. Basically, in the context, it says, you don't starve the minister to death. That's what it means. You don't put a muzzle on him while he's treading out, studying the word, preparing the word, preaching the word. You don't muzzle him. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. Again, that's showing us the principle here is that we're to love to support the body of believers, the saints of God, the ministry that goes on within the church like this one and other churches. We're to love that, and we're to love the ministry of the word and those that do that. So you say, well, preacher, this is awful self-serving this morning. I'm just trying to preach the word today. Anybody that knows this ministry knows we don't emphasize probably enough these subjects. But I want to tell you, by the Spirit of the Lord today, I'm supposed to address this subject. Because every one of us are going to be better off for it. Every one of us, and I got good news for you as a pastor today. The Lord has used you mightily for his glory through the years. So this is not anything to do with any thought of mine that is negative. It's just got to do with being faithful to the word, and that the Holy Spirit will talk to you individually as to how this might impact you, just like he speaks to me concerning my own life as well, because I am required to do everything that you do. Does that make sense to everybody? That's what this does. The Word of God, when I'm preaching the Word and preparing these messages, it's not something where I'm going, oh, that's for so-and-so. No. I'll be honest with you, individuals never come to my mind in that sense. I'm thinking, Lord, what are you wanting to do today through this message? And may you open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That we're not just hearers only, but doers of the word. That we're growing and developing in our faith. And I want to tell you, when we are obedient to him, it's powerful. And I want to show you that in the remainder of this message. Going back to our text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. I just want to point out several things here. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says, but I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Again, this is to the church of Corinth. This is to the church of today by way of the Holy Spirit working and operating our life. So verse 6, this is the point. This is God's math. God's math. So I just want you to think on that for a moment. God's math. He said that he uses the analogy of seed here, sowing of seed. But in the same context, he's talking about giving. And this is God's math. You take seed out of your bag and you sow it, you give it away. But when you sow it and give it away, you now have more in your bag than what you started with. I'm just trying to share with you God's math. God's math. He said, when you sow, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Again, God's math. So the key here was sowing. Sowing. And the what bountiful means, it just depends on who we are, what is bountiful, right? It depends on who we are, what is sparing, what is bountiful. It's again that relationship we got with God when we, as we consider where we are in life. And so he said, God's math says, if you give away, you sow, you'll reap according to how you have sown. But God's math is better than mine, I'll just tell you that. Because in our own natural fleshly math, when you take out of the bag, you subtract, right? When you take out of the wallet, you subtract. When you take out of your bank account, you subtract. When you give of the first of your produce, if you were giving away the from your garden, or you give the first of the flock that has been born into maybe a herd of cattle or your or other animals that you have, and you give the first of it away. In our mind is we're subtracting, but in God's math, when you give it away, you added. You added. Maybe this will help one of us today. God's math. Let's go back to our text today on this. And so we'll keep reading. Verse 7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. So let's read it again. Just read it with me. It's fun this way. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. It's not under pressure from a guy who says, if you'll give to this cause, this will happen and this won't happen, and there's all this manipulation, stuff like that. When you're being manipulated into it, that ain't his plan. He said, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. So the second point is God's math, but God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Again, not out of a bunch of pressure, not out of anything like that, but that we give as God has purposed in our heart, where again, we've sat down and we have considered our own resources and what God has done in our life, and then we give out of that. And so this is for every single believer, not just here in this congregation. This is the way it should be for every believer in the entire planet. This word is for all of us, for all of us. Even if we were in a place today like just a few weeks ago, the Franks were in some very impoverished places, but they can testify of the fact how people in very impoverished places in the body of Christ are always trying to give you something. They're always trying to give it away. They're trying to give you what they have. And it makes you feel like, hold on. No, but they want to give it. You know why? Because that is how God moves in his people, no matter, but we purpose in our heart regarding these things. No, let's go back to our passage again. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now let's all read it again. Y'all should read it out loud. Everybody ready? All right. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The previous verse said, God loves a cheerful giver. This verse 8 tells us how God provides for us as cheerful givers through his power. He's going to work in us and through his power to sustain and take care of his cheerful givers. And when I think about cheerful givers again in this point, I think about how God must view us when we give cheerfully. I'm sure in this room there's been those of you that perhaps it's just even been a small child, and that it's mom's birthday or dad's birthday, and they maybe even made some little thing at school or in kids' church or just in their room. They made this little thing that they wanted to give you for your birthday, and you might be opening presents from older people in the room, but they've got theirs, and they're just like bouncing, sitting there. That child is wanting to give you that what they have prepared for you. It may not have cost anything in terms of the ways of this world, but they took what they had and they were presenting it to you. That is the picture that we need to have, where we can't wait to give God what we have. Listen, when we're making out a check, or when we're going on our online app to give, whatever it is, it should thrill our soul that we're able to give unto the Lord and be a cheerful giver. But you know what does not cause cheerful giving is when you've been manipulated into it. That is miserable. That's called miserable giving. Everybody raise your hand, right hand, if you agree with that. Well, some of you just take it either way, man. Just roll with it. But if you don't like that, and because just be honest, just raise your hand. I don't like that kind of stuff. I think everybody's like that. But he's saying when we give cheerfully. So whatever it is that we purpose in our heart according to what he has provided for us and the resources he's given us, we're to give cheerfully and just be on the edge of our seat. But I also see Father God saying, I can't wait to open that. And in his power, as the provider, Jehovah Jireh, he sustains and supports his people who are cheerful givers with his abundance, with his gifts. See, God is generous. God loves a cheerful giver, but his power works in the lives of his cheerful givers to meet their needs in return, to do his work of abundance in their life in return. Let's go back to the passage of Scripture again. And then let's go to verse 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Notice that. This is actually a quote from Psalm 112, I believe verse 9 of Psalm 112. It said, go back to verse 9 again. Well, no, here we got it. Look, you were dead on it. I forgot I even gave that passage. So again, he has dispersed abroad, verse 9, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever, his horn will be exalted with honor. So we notice that New Testament passage was quoting this psalm. And what we have in this passage is we're reading verse 9 of our text. Going back to 2 Corinthians, what we have is a confirmation of God's eternal righteousness working on our behalf in our life. You see, what God's ways are higher than our ways, and it far exceeds everything that we can do, all of our giving can possibly be. But what he's saying is when we surrender ourselves to his full plan for our whole life, and even in here he's particularly talking about the area of giving, we're seeing a confirmation. And he's there quoting from the Old Testament passage, a confirmation of his eternal righteousness and how that God is going to give and give and give. We're going to be blessed for eternity's sake. You see, it's not about, we're frail. We need God. We need Jesus today. Now, I just want to look at verses 10 through 12 back in our text, and we'll close with this. Verse 10, now may he who supplies seed to the sower, who supplies resources, money to the giver. This is how we understand this, okay? So he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That goes back, all of that is going back to the Psalm 112 passage. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, notice that, it supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And the last point I'll make from this passage is that it's for God's glory. All of this is for God's glory. It's not for man's glory, not for glory of Christian Heritage Church, not for the glory of this pastor, pastoral staff. It's not for the glory of man of any sort. But the work that he has for this world that needs Jesus, the lost world, and for the work that he has for the body of Christ so that believers can grow and develop and be strengthened in discipleship so that we then can in turn be fishers of men and make a difference in this world locally and around the world. But may we be reminded today, it's all for the glory of God. Amen? It's all for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? We'll be dismissed in just a moment, but I want you to stay just for a moment as we conclude this service today. As always, if you're here today and need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know him, I want you to know, let you know that today is the day of salvation. Today you have opportunity to call upon him. And if you'll believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died on the cross for your sins, he, the Son of God, fully God, came from heaven to earth to take upon himself the judgment for your and my sin. If we'll believe in him and who then was raised from the dead 3 days later, who the scriptures have declared to us, who is alive forevermore and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, who's one day going to come back to judge the living and the dead. I want to tell you, if you'll believe in him, you'll have everlasting life. Believe upon the Lord today. I'll be available here, but every head bowed just quickly. If you'll raise your hand and say, that's me today, Pastor. What you just said is me today, and I desire to choose him today, to follow him. He's dealt with me in this service, and I just want to acknowledge that, and I want to know him today and be born again today through faith in him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. Nobody will come to you and embarrass you in any way. Just slip up your hand and keep it lifted just for a moment. Amen. All right. May you lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. I pray that you'll take these words, ponder upon them, meditate upon them, and then be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. That's my prayer for you today. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.